Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
And that fourth meal.
And the fourth meal. What an honor for us that we have Kanye West on Juan Epstein.
We've been trying to get this for a long time, yay.
Has 88 Keys told you? 88's always said he's promised us he would put you on to our podcast. We do this nerdy, like, historical hip-hop podcast.
Okay, dope.
And you don't want to talk about your issues with paparazzi and any big headlines you got. We want to talk that real shit.
So we're trying to get, so there are a lot of things we talk about with you that we want to get historically that we think are super interesting and haven't really been touched.
Okay.
Like, I'd love to start with your early hip-hop producer stories. Like, I don't even know really the first hip-hop producers to influence you from the very beginning.
I like it.
Yeah, like No ID is my biggest inspiration.
Like
as a producer.
Right. But because you met him, or what were you listening to?
Were you already into Common off top? It was the Common Sense stuff.
Yeah, I already loved that style of music, and I think it related more to me because I was from Chicago.
Right.
So they were the only ones combining that, like, New York hip hop with a Chicago attitude on top of it. Yeah.
Were you more Pete or Primo?
Ooh, good one.
I think I was more Pete Rock. But I love Primo also, and of course the RZA, and just all those people I reached out to when I did My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. So, yeah, but like songs like I Gotta Love, like certain samples like that just meant, man, it definitely Pete Rock.
I mean, why that one? That's funny. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone reference I Gotta Love as a song that they would.
It like. Makes sense though, the way the sample with the words in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Jamaican sample like that, and the way he turned it up, man. That's that emotion and feeling that I was always trying to go to when I, and also like Q-Tip, so like Midnight Marauders, Electric Laxation, Award Tour, records like that. Like when I did the College Dropout, I was really attempting to get that type of sample and that type of feeling at all, you know, at all costs, at all times. Yeah,
I get super nerdy.
Take it to the next level.
Super nerdy because you're a Pete Rock fan, Q-Tip fan, but then you have this affection for RZA music. So you an MPC or you an ASR type of guy?
I use both.
Use both. You mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm,
you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
Why are you mixing it up?
Yeah. Is that uncommon, Syfe? Very uncommon. You're generally
there's a mindset. There's a certain type of person. I guess it makes sense now that you say use both. There's a certain type of person that you hear that MPC style, and then the like Muggs, RZA, Alchemist are ASR. That fucking weird, loud, little bit off. You know what I'm saying? And Pete Rock shit is just perfect.
But you like both, depending on where you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, whatever tools I need to get that point across, to get that sound across. But I was blessed to have grown up using an EPS 16+. I didn't know that that would be something so warm about the sampling techniques. You know, about the sound of the ASR that then would help define exactly the style of music I did. So a lot of that music that came out just to get by sounded like that because it went through ASR. You know.
So the one you just mentioned was your first piece you ever had?
Yeah, I had an EPS 16. I don't even know if it was a 16+. No, I had a Amiga computer when I was in seventh grade. Because I wanted to design video games on it and stuff. And I started doing the music for it. I got really interested in particularly doing music. And then I found out about sampling when I was 14. And I saved up all my money to get a sampler. I remember I had my stepbrother at that time was living with me. And he told me, like, look, if you let me borrow this money, you know, I'll give you, you know, $20 interest on it. And I was saving up the money. It's going to take me a number of weeks to save up from cutting grass to get the sampler anyway. So I was like, yeah, cool, cool. But then once I was getting close to it, he wasn't really giving me the money back. And I remember, my stepfather told me one time, like, don't ever loan him anything, right? Never. Right before, but he had talked me into a loaner. And I remember this other time where I used to always get on punishment and told not to use the phone. You know, this is back when you had corded phones. It was no cell phones back then, right? So I'm on the phone, and stepbrother came in, and he asked me, said, yo, what was you doing? I was like, I wasn't doing nothing. He's like, was you smoking a cigarette? Because he saw the light from it. And I was like, no, I was on the phone. He's like, you sure you weren't smoking a cigarette? And he grabbed me and said, yay, whatever you do, don't never smoke anything. Never smoke anything, right?
Damn.
So to come to find out, you know, he's a crackhead. And I didn't know it. And I had told wow. my, and I didn't find out until I asked my, you know, stepfather for the money. I was like, man, I got to get my sampler. And he had kicked them out the house.
And you had, so you had basically initially, without, unbeknownst yeah. to yourself, gone into business with a crackhead to get your sampler.
Yeah.
Not knowing that. But yeah. So you eventually got the sampler?
I eventually got the sampler.
What was it, like 7 seconds or something? What'd you have?
No, ESP.
No, EPS. The sampler was for the computer. So I used to sample on the computer before I got an EPS.
Oh.
I didn't have the right equipment. And I was always like, if I get the right equipment, then I'm going to be able to, like, do this and do this. And I would always, like, study. I'd be so into it. You know, like, I'm really, like, focused when I really, you know, am passionate about something. So I would study.
Yeah, we know that about you.
Yeah. So I would study and get into it. And I think it's, like, right now for me as a celebrity, like, sometimes people think it's weird for me to, like, call out fashion people or say I don't got this, but all I'm doing is I'm trying to get my new EPS 16.
Exactly. That's what I said this morning.
We had a
right?
conversation yeah. today because I was like, I said to Syph, I said,
we're talking about the show last night that we saw at the Garden where Kanye went into his fashion rant.
Right. So Syph and I get back, and just like we did after Glow in the Dark, we go, that was the best rap show we've ever seen. So I was like, that's the best concert I've been to, and I don't know how long. So I did a feature on the show today where I go, Kanye is the biggest rock star in the world. Like, you can't get a bigger show than that, blah, blah. So we start talking details about the show, and he goes, what'd you think about the rant? I'm like, listen, I sign up to get whatever Kanye is giving me. So when I go to the show, I want to hear whatever Kanye has to say.
Right.
I was like, I don't know that, like, I understood most of what he was saying, but, like, I didn't know that it spoke to me. And then Syph explained how it spoke to him.
Just look at what he's wearing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just start
hey,
there.
Hey, shut up, man.
So.
Harry Fraud's company. Anyways, so Syph was talking about how it spoke to him, though.
So how did it speak to you?
No, I left, my nigga, I left emotional. Yeah. I could not sleep last night. Mind you, we have to get up at 5.
I've never seen him like this on a Monday. Wow. He was, like, freaking out.
I was with my wife. I was turned up, like, I was like, yo, because, like, just people telling you can't do something, and, like, people are like, what do you want to do that for? You're a huge musician, a rock star, and, like, when you, I was saying marginalized all morning on the radio.
Well, like, you're a DJ, don't be a comedian. You're a DJ, don't be a comedian.
Yeah, because I, like, I'm a DJ, and then I started doing all these comedy shows, and people are like, why are you getting into comedy? You ain't supposed to be. I'm like, why not?
Yeah,
it's all art. It's all something I want to do.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about the old hip-hop stories, because I wanted to make video games, but because it was easier to work on the sound program than the program and the characters, I'm here now.
Yeah.
You know, it was that was the thing that I kind of, and I was passionate about, but I was passionate about learning how to ollie on my skateboard when I thought I was going to be a skateboard. I was passionate about drawing. I went to art school. Everyone would have told me, if you look at the way I drew better than everyone else. You know, I was in national competition. I was in art school since 5 years old, competition since age 14, and went to art school on a scholarship. And I dropped out to do music. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now, you know.
So you wouldn't have even planned. Yeah. Being a producer wouldn't have been your dream from the jump, much as video games would have been, designing video games.
Yeah, well, I figured out that my dream is every dream. My dream is every dream. I won't be limited to one dream to let society tell me what
my
dream is.
But you love hip-hop, though.
I love hip-hop.
It's not like you're doing it just to make money to get to your next dream. Like, you love the music.
Yeah, I love the music. But also, like I gave the guy the example last night, I said, what if Kanye West had never been an excuse third person, but what if I had never been able to leave Chicago and come to New York? Yeah. I remember when I was calling Just Blaze for advice, like, man, I'm just ain't selling these beats out here. And he'd be like, giving me some advice, yo, maybe send me a couple beats. And he'd be like, oh, I got to go. That's Buster pulling up behind me. Yeah. And I'd be like, who you think was pulling up behind me in Chicago? You know what I'm saying? Everybody's trying to hold on to me in Chicago, you know, you can't leave. You're the biggest producer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, I swear, I'm going to make Chicago so proud. So y'all need to understand that now that I'm saying, okay, with hip hop, it's good. It's music. We made it. I showed you Dark Fantasy, blah, blah, all this stuff. But now I need to step away for a bit and make this. And I'm going to make hip hop so proud. There's never been a hip hop designer making, you know, clothing on the level we got. And I got so many forms of interest. Yesterday I had the Wallabies on. I'm like, this is like Ghost. So if I got Camo, I'm like, this is like Nas. All of my references are very like the hip-hop I grew on.
Yeah.
Because hip-hop is just as much Sonics as it was the clothing. So I want to do both those things, very hip hop, and also I want to make movies. But the way I deliver things are like, just the way I was like, white boys that like hip hop and niggas that like hip hop, you know, it's like that for clothing. And it just, the silhouette of the pants that I wear is, now it's like black people wear, but that was like a white silhouette back in the days. And I always blur those lines, whether it's like me bringing Mos Def to the studio with Jay-Z. There was a time when Mos Def and Jay-Z, you didn't think they would ever be in the studio because
that moment.
Every Mos Def rap was really, you know, it felt like it was coming at like Biggie and Jay-Z. And every Jay-Z rap was more like, I want to be respected like Quali, but I got to get this paper too. So right. Don't be hating on me because I'm at Club Cheaters and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, it's a player haters. And I mean, Biggie said, like, the Roots disappear, you whack to me. Like, Biggie dissed the Roots. It was like this anti thing right now. So what I'm saying is I can see, man. To me, what makes me a visionary is I make decisions with my eyes versus what someone tells me. You know, so.
But you are the embodiment of what you just said.
Yeah.
Kanye West is the embodiment of the mainstream things of Biggie and all those things with Quali and Mos. That's sort of what you're like in my brain. That's what you occupy. Like, you're the hip hop that I'm passionate about and that like makes me get that feeling like when I was a kid, the music that I love. Yeah. But at the same time, you're the artist who my parents know everything about you. Like, you know what I'm saying? You actually have managed to bridge that gap.
Yeah, I said earlier today, it's like to have integrity, relevance, and finances. Was that the third one I said? That's like juggling on a tightrope.
Yeah.
How many people have integrity, relevance, and finances?
All
because
together.
Because you're going to sacrifice one for the other. The world is set up where you have to sacrifice one. You got to sacrifice a little bit of integrity for finance. You got to sacrifice a little bit of integrity for relevance. Like if I say, you know, hey, I'm not rapping on nobody's songs this year. You know, that was my integrity. And when I listened to the radio on the way to the show, it wasn't that one Kanye West song playing. But if I did a remix on this hot song and that song, blah, 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 then it would have had more relevance on the radio. But with my integrity, I sacrifice some of the relevance for that. And I could give you, I could pull that triangle around, you know.
As far as radio, you're saying, but like, I mean, when you stepped on that stage last night and what's the first song from?
On Sight.
That song, on Sight. I mean, they went nutso. So,
but then they also went nutso for, which I didn't even think about you playing this song, and I heard you doing it from Cold as Ice when you went to Theraflu.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Like, that's an urban radio record, you know what I'm saying, or as it would be described.
Yeah, and it's not on the album, right?
It was on the compilation, right? Or it was on Khaled's
album? It was on both. It was on Khaled. Right?
And the Good
Cool
music.
Summer.
I wanted to be on my album, too, because I felt like that's how I feel.
Yeah,
you know,
that
like,
song is crazy.
Yeah, that record, that was just how I feel. I had some of them lines, and I was just walking around with some of the lines in my head about the fell in love with Kim and just the way it timed out that literally like the song dropped and I just started dating Kim and we was at the studio and Flex played it and then we went on our first date and it was like me expressing that, you know, and for me I wanted to get into the cycle of an artist and the balance of commerciality and integrity. You know, when I was doing Cruel Summer, everybody acted like they didn't like it, and they even tried to take me lower on the MC list. Now, ain't nobody had a verse that year to the level of Diamond's remix verse, or the level of New God Flow verse, or the level of Cold as a song, what I'm talking about, you know? But because it was so accessible and because Click became so popular, Mercer, people was like, oh, that's really popular. I don't like it. Or I see him all the time walking around with his girlfriend. That ain't hip hop. Hip hop ain't about love. Yeah. Hip hop ain't, I don't like Bound 2 video because hip hop is about having lots of girls. It ain't about having one girl. Is this going to hurt your image? Is this going to hurt your brand? So people feeling that transition. And for me, I was dealing with a lot of frustration when I wrote Yeezus. It would be frustrated like if I couldn't, I as frustrated as when my crackhead brother wouldn't give me that money to get my sampler. You know, so now fashion, the fashion industry is my crackhead brother right now.
Well, do you use that for motivation?
Yeah. What
do
you say?
Do you use that? Like, because I sit there, as a fan, I just go, who fucking cares? You're Kanye, right? Where I'm like, you are, as I declared today, you are, I think, the greatest artist of the modern hip-hop era. Like, this is your era. And I don't mean just in hip-hop.
Or the modern music era.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, from my lens is hip-hop. But overall, in music, you are the dude. So I'm like, why does he give a shit? I feel like you end up using these things as a way to just motivate yourself to do more.
No, I give a shit because I want to make it, and I know what I need to make it. Like, I used to go over No ID House. It was like, let me get some drums. This is back before drums was all online. For anybody's online, he just had, you had Beat Nuts, you had Q-Tip, you had No ID, you had people, you had Diamond D, you had people who had drums, right? I was like, let me get those drums. I know I can make some dope. I got some ideas. I'm a young kid. And with those drums, and No ID was like, nah, you can't have these drums. You got to pay more dues for the drums. So what I'm saying is, it ain't no difference between the fabrics of the beats and the actual fabrics that we wear on us. These things parallel perfectly. It's something about the uniform of that Mobb Deep, the Mobb Deep Infamous cover that went perfectly with, you know, the way Infamous sounded, the way I'm dressed and stuff, the way I look, the way my team be looking. What Pat Plain Bats said to me was, when he heard Yeezus, he said, I was very black and white. It's like exactly the way we was dressed. It was like that was our feel, and these were our sonics. So you take like I'm In It. That's how it sounded. You take Mercy. That's how we sounded. We look the way we sound. I'm Disney of this generation. I'm Steve of this generation. So
specifying that though, because you said those quotables before, and the mainstream white people don't understand when you say it. Be clear, if you can, when you say you're Walt Disney and you're Steve Jobs, what you're trying to say. I think we get it. I don't think they get it.
Yeah.
Or is it not for them to get?
Yeah, it ain't for them to understand, but what I'm telling you is like, what I want to go back to is the same way who No ID, and this is not no knock on it, but we know the way he wouldn't give me them drums, right, at that time, is how the fashion industry won't give me an opportunity.
So, like, even
to
when
create.
We heard all those stories of like all the A&Rs that wouldn't sign you or let you rap. This is, you're going through the same thing now with fashion.
I'm going through the same thing now, and don't think that because I'm a celebrity that I have true creative freedom. Celebrities are controlled by perception and by finances. They are a new form of control slave. You know,
what's your through the wire for fashion? Like, what's
the thing that
you have something already on deck and you just don't have the finances for it?
Yes, I made Jesus Walks, didn't I? Have you ever felt about a shoe since the Jordans the way you felt about the Yeezys? The Yeezys was hip-hop. They gave us that feeling like we was back in fourth grade, like Jordan was winning again. For some, they felt like that. But then Nike marginalized me. They only let me design two silhouettes. And thank you, Nike, for letting me design stuff. You also let Eminem design stuff. You let a bunch of people design. You let Pharrell do a dunk. But I designed the Yeezys. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't expect it to have that impact because they have an energy group that does entertainment marketing that is supposed to be limited. And soon as it was too big, it's scary. It's like I was fine with, you know, writing Find Your Love with Drake on his first thing until he got too big. And that was the moment where I had to adjust and deal with this new energy that's taking over the room, right? And Nike is like, no, we ain't going to let you blow to the level that Drake has now blow. We're not going to let it be a new brand Jordan. We already had that one baby. And we don't even like the fact that we have to compete with brand Jordan.
Right, they share with him.
And I'm going to tell you something. The only reason why brand Jordan is relevant is because of two people. Me and Don C. Because Don C used to order them vintage Jordans for me when I was the new up-and-coming style icon in hip-hop, wearing a Louis Vuitton backpack, a polo shirt, some paper denim jeans, and some Jordans where the sole was falling apart because they was the real retros before they made the toe too big on the new ones and when they still had the Nike Air on the back.
Right, the problem
the was. Real retros, right? And now they've been riding off of that idea, which is really a Donda idea. A Kanye West idea is, let's wear retro Jordans. That was the idea. Let me wear Louis Vuitton backpacks. That was an idea of mine. So when I'm talking about Mark Parker, the current head, because he had Phil Knight. It's difference. Right. It's difference between somebody who working for somebody else's idea and a person who made the idea. Because me and Phil Knight going to talk like this. The way me and Elon Musk talk for 3 hours, like this. The way me and Eric Schmidt talk like this.
Who are the people
this
you just named?
What?
Who are the people you just named?
Elon Musk has the car company Tesla. Also has SpaceX. Also invented the Hyperloop. Okay. Eric Schmidt is the head of Google.
Got it.
So I'm just saying, like, current civilization, living civilization, that can actually have a full conversation with what it is I'm attempting to do. So it's a lot of my ideas that I put out in the world have now then been pilfered through by, you know, corporations, whether it's sonic ideas. Because Yeezus, at the end of the day, you can like it, you cannot like it, but it's a group of new ideas. And as far as the execution, for me, it's a listening session to the world. So I look at the world as like my living room. This is like a dream for me. I can do whatever I want, whatever I feel like. I can say whatever I want, and I know that. And I'm in a position where I got to thank the paparazzi. Thank you, paparazzi, thank because you have given me another level of a voice of relevance that no magazine could write and editorialize my life to try to, like, classify me and be classes against me the way the W magazine was. It's like I can run to these Trotter magazines and try to, like, you know, say, hey, look, I'm a dope artist. I'm a modern day Warhol or something like that. And they'll more make a mockery out of me trying to learn because I'm learning out loud. And at the end of the day, it comes down to classism and racism. I told you it's 1,460 or 70. I don't know who came up with a new tech idea yesterday, but 1,470 billionaires in the world, and it's only 7 black billionaires of any African descent. We know one of them. You know what I'm saying? So that's like before Michael Jackson fought to get his videos on MTV, he was considered to be urban. And now he is Michael Jackson, the greatest musician of all time.
Yeah, wait, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I got to ask you this. They give me 2 minutes, and I had a few things I wrote down I want to get to you. All right, cool, real quick. Did you ever meet
and have... Oh, no, I have to say.
Sorry.
I'm going to be the greatest products human being of all time.
You had to get that in.
All right, cool, go ahead.
That's interesting. Well, that's an interesting thing that you had. Okay.
Because Tupac, the greatest rapper.
Well, hold on. Did,
Tupac
you
already said
you the Tupac of fashion. Yeah. I almost passed out. My name.
All right, did you ever meet Dilla in person?
Yeah, all the time. We hung out. He gave me drums. We worked on Common album together.
And you guys worked on Common together. And did you guys talk semi-regularly? Because you once said that you said he had the best drums in hip-hop. That was a quote I remember seeing on a Dilla record. Did you admire him for his drums specifically? Or?
Yeah, 100%. That man was a genius. Whatever he could do to tweak that MPC, the way he worked it in a different type of way. Everybody had the real producers, everybody had their swag and their thing that they brought. I had this production level where I would take these, like, really infectious samples, put an infectious thought idea that everyone could relate to, because it felt like no one could relate to me no one wanted to be me. Everybody wanted to be more like gangster and stuff when I was coming. So I put that together and kind of created this palette that Jay-Z helped me out with the blueprint to make that popular. Because Jay-Z's really great at setting new trends and everything, so he made that popular, and I put that spoken word style on top of it. But my drums, if you listen to my sonics, they wouldn't compare to anything that Dilla was doing or anything that Dr. Dre was doing or anything that Swiss Beatz was doing or anything that Pharrell was doing. My drums are actually my Achilles heel. So what you guys got to understand, it's like Yeezus is an exercise in drums and mixes more than it is an exercise of hit records.
Why is it your Achilles heel? Why are drums hard for you?
Well, now they're not hard because that Yeezus bang.
Crack music was hard, though.
Yeah, crack music had
crack music was hard.
Every now and then I would get it.
You catch one?
Every now and then I get it. All the Lights, we mixed that so many times. Every now and then I would get it. Even with Stronger, I'd ask Pharrell, I'd ask Timbaland, help me redo these drums because it just don't knock. We still be redoing the drums to this day. We still redo the drums to Can't Tell Me Nothing. Can't Tell Me don't knock like, it don't knock like Mike Will. It don't knock like Travis Scott. It don't knock like Young Chop.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And lastly, what about Michael? You talk about Michael all the time. You did a remix for him. Did you ever have an MJ personal encounter?
Yeah, I sat with Michael Jackson. I met him over Leo Cohen's house, and I just vibed out with him. And then, like, I think Michael the one that put that battery in my back to do 808s. I played Good Life, and he was like, who's that singing right there? I like that voice. It was my voice. He gassed me up. Next thing y'all know, y'all had me in the night here. I was like, Michael Jackson told me I could sing. Fuck all y'all, you know?
All right, last question. Yeah. I've always wanted to ask you this. Yeah. What's a Oluwap do?
Oluwapdi.
What is that?
That was just like some shit we used to say in Chicago. We almost, I mean, I haven't heard it said in a long ass time and shit. So that was just like psyching somebody out. You know?
Oh, how do you say it?
The Oluwapdi.
Oluwapdi.
Yeah, the way he says it on the record,
I try to hit you with the Oluwapdi.
Right.
that.
I tried to hit you with the old wopty like that.
And do you remember the time Cypher Sound? Do you remember?
Oh man, we're gonna bring that up.
Do you remember when you were trying to get on? Was it Lyricist Lounge?
On a sound bombing album on Ruckus.
You were trying to get on, and Cypher said he didn't have room.
And that wasn't me.
I thought it was you.
Nah.
Oh no, Ruckus was like they like the old version of what the fashion crowd was. They so
no,
snob.
We was mixing the album.
But Mos Def told. Mos Def told ahead. Who is Jared?
Jared and Brian.
Jared and Brian. This is Kanye West talking to you. This is the greatest moment of your hip hop life. You passed on signing me because I didn't have a look. I wasn't official enough. You didn't like the way I rap. But guess what? I thunk myself to annihilate and become the most important hip hop musician of all times. And I'm just getting started. What is the names again?
Brian.
I done already forgot your name, and that's even important to you.
Thanks, Kyle.
My shout out almost got you some pussy, and then it fucked it all up.
Yo, yay, thank you, man.
Yo, so we
need to flick with him real quick.
I used to DJ for Mos and Quad. Yeah. And you came in the studio, and we were like, yo, we're done. We're mixing it. And you're like, yo, let me just rhyme acapella. Yeah. And they looked at you like, acapella?
Safe, come on, let's switch up.
Rhyme acapella.
Yo, thank you. Seriously, you're like my favorite ever, dude.
Thank you.
You're the fucking man. All right, you ready?
Are you serious? After that, we're going right to
you fed him that shit.
And now you're big enough that Jared and Brian are still going to be gassed that they got the shot.
Yeah.
You could diss people and they'll still be happy.
Yeah.
But dude, the show is so good, man.
Yo,
I'm serious. That was the second time I've taken my wife for her birthday to see you. First time with that little show you did for Dark Twisted Fantasy. The day came out.
True. Now there's a piece where we pick it up, though.
You know, this show... it's really like the tour for Dark Twisted Fantasy.
You didn't tour Dark Twisted Fantasy, right?
Yeah.
So this is really the first time you've gotten out.
Yeah.
I was surprised you didn't do the intro.
Dark Fantasy?
Yeah, Dark Fantasy.
Yeah, people
when it said higher on the screen, I thought you were going to hit
that. Even on Big Boy Show, you said you don't do Good Life.
What?
Yeah. I know.
Love. I've seen it.
His shout out, why did you...
Don't
fall. Anybody fall for that shit, son.
Yeah.
But yeah, that you
no,
that,
no my girl told me to do it.
What?
Told me to do Good Life.
Oh, Good Life?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why not? And also, here's what I want. If I make a request, Dark Fantasy, I need that one day, and So Appalled. Even though you don't have everyone, it's still so fucking big.
I'm so appalled.
That's just so appalled. One hand in the air just for the whole crowd to hit the one hand in the air would be so wild.
I wrote So Appalled in Rome while I was working at Fendi trying to work on shit.
Yeah, we had the early version. Remember when nobody else was on?
Oh, yeah, the first version that came out that was just you. Enough at it. It was just you rhyming straight through.
Yeah. I work on... I work when I'm not working. I'll think of some shit. I have an idea when I'm away from shit. Like, I'm still gonna do, like, this next album is gonna be that thing where it's like, I see the way people react in Blood Only. I know what people like and what they didn't like. People didn't like 808s. It's like, I ain't fucking with that. Here's a new palette. Now I have the ability to even do more.
Yeah, but for the record, everyone who said they didn't like 808s, most people eventually liked 808s.
Same shit's happened with that.
I was kind of like, I don't know about singing, and then I heard Paranoid, and I heard these songs. I'm like, all right. And now it's Michael.
MJ.
Yeah, we got to go.
They need you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Really means a lot. Appreciate it. All right, Saif, let's...
still recording?
Yeah, let's digest what just happened.
Right.
We had intentions. We had a plan we wanted to execute.
Right.
We said, we're not going to get Kanye'd. If Kanye goes, we're going to...
I said the same thing when I was on Howard Stern's show.
Wait, what do you mean?
I'm like, I'm not going to let Howard Stern get me, and it's impossible. We're going to get Kanye'd. But it's fine. I was ready to deal with the Kanye if we had our one-up time to break it down.
Come on in, Ebro, come on in. We're digesting. We're still on 1UP digesting the situation. Oh. Talking about how I said, I refuse to allow us to get Kanye'd.
Which would be what?
When Kanye, like, him completely taking over.
Oh.
But it's very tough.
Yeah, you can see he's got his things that he wants to say. I told you, like, having conversations with him, he's almost like, I don't want to use this phrase wrong. He's almost creatively autistic in a way.
Right.
You notice, like, where you talk to him, he's very much like...
Did you see right now, when he was talking, he had a thing he wanted to say to us.
And he's going to say it.
And it's very interesting. And, like, that's why we're fortunate we got a gem there at the end about Michael. Like, a random... You got to ask... I was like, let me just ask...
You're hyped right now.
Let me ask a couple of names. That's Kanye West, man.
No, it is that guy.
That's the guy. And fresh off of last night, when you're reminded of how good he is, and it's that autism that you're talking about that makes him able to... It's the total package.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah, you don't want to be able to... No, there's no artist I understand that well who I like that much. The more I understand them, the less I like them usually.
Really?
Like Kendrick,
well, because then you figure out that they're really... It's the crazy fact.
Eminem is a fucking Looney Tune.
And you like him now that you like him more that you know him or you don't?
No. I got to know him and saw he's insane. You can't know him. We were around him. And he's nice, like Kanye. He's nice,
yeah.
Respectful,
yeah.
All those things. But I don't identify with him.
See, but now you have a situation, somebody like Kanye West, who's playing with what I call like the house's money, right? So every risk that he takes, I mean, yeah, he could lose, but he's still Kanye West. So he's going to get another shot. You know what I mean? Like, not all creative people are in that circumstance where it's like, you know, they've had so much success where even if they throw out some craziness, like Yeezus album, right, and a lot of people don't get it. It's over a lot of heads. He's got the brand to help people digest it later and like catch up to it. Like, think about it. Kanye West put out this album how long ago?
Yeezus?
Yeah,
7 months.
The summer. 5 months.
5 months. He's still hitting us up about singles. He's still like, yo, Blood on the Leaves. That's the look. And he's doing a tour right now, which goes hand in hand with the album. You know what I mean? Like. That's not something most artists we see, they put out an album, they get all their kind of marketing around that moment, they hopefully will go on tour, and then they put out a couple singles and they're done.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we might be still talking about Yeezus in 4 or 5 months, like next summer.
First of all,
talk about his old albums, like...
But I'm just saying,
forever.
Like... But you're going to talk about it like it's right now, like it's relevant, not as if it's old. Like, yeah. we're talking about an album that's 5 months old.
Right. Now, two things excited me that we just heard. One, him just saying this next album.
He said this next album.
That's always exciting to hear. He did just say that, this next album. What did he mean by the line about Drake, find your love? Were you listening to that?
Yes. Yeah.
What did that mean? Do you guys have a translation?
Yeah, it meant that he recognizes Drake's genius or greatness, and he worked with Drake on that moment, right? That moment of Find Your Love that he helped produce or whatever he did on it.
Wrote it.
Oh, he wrote, produced everything. But it was his song.
It was his song. Gave it to him. Mm-hmm. Basically gave him the layup and then had to, because it got so big, adjust.
Who had to adjust?
Kanye.
No, but it was also tied in before that to the Nike.
Right. It was tied into the way
Yeezys took off so much that Nike was like, whoa, what's this force? What's this
plus
force
the song
pushing us back? No, he's saying he's Nike.
Right.
And Drake was the Yeezy.
Right, and he had to adjust.
And he was like, what is this force? I gave a little record, and now it's fucking huge, blowing me back.
But he didn't squash Drake. He adjusted.
No, he stepped back.
Right, he
had to take it in.
No, he had to. He recognized I had to. He said, quote, when you listen back, I adjusted.
Yeah.
Meaning like, oh shit, this shit is real. Now what am I gonna do? Right. Which is, remember, that's the whole moment. He goes on stage in Toronto.
No, that basically
acknowledges, yo, fam, you put it down. Hove and I had to be like, yo, this little motherfucker's got a movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how are we gonna stay relevant?
But I think that was the first time I've ever heard him out loud talk about that moment of, yeah, I made that song and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Because that basically Nike, sums up their quiet not beef or whatever
Nike,
the fuck it was.
Nike shut him down.
Yeah.
No more Yeezys. But he didn't shut Drake down. He was pushed back and was like,
I don't know.
Like, shutting Drake down would have been like not going on that OVO moment and being like, I'm never fucking with Drake ever.
Or ever coming out and shitting on him.
Or an ever.
Because Jay's big enough that him shitting on him would have been bad.
Something, right? Yeah.
You don't, like, getting shit on by Kanye is not something anyone would ever want. I mean, that's a problem. But yeah, we did our best to contain. And we got quick rag.
But why would you want to contain? He gave you awesomeness.
Oh, did, I mean, that's
the
what I'm saying.
The raucous shit is hilarious.
The MJ story is great. MJ created 808s and Heartbreaks.
Right, but even the talk about the Jordan talk.
Yeah, the Jordan talk was
the
sick.
Retro Jordan talk.
How about him saying the reason Jordan is popping is because of Don C and Kanye West?
No, that's amazing.
That's a bold.
And that's and that and I don't and I think people are going to take it out of context. That the reason Jordan is popping. I think what he was saying is this retro movement of the reissue.
Yeah. Right, this whole money stream that they've been killing it with, reissuing everything.
Because remember, Jordan was struggling in the 23rd, 24th. Nobody buys the new Jordan.
They were shit.
Exactly.
No, do you remember in the before Kanye, if you want to now agree with him.
People may not want to give him credit. But
sneakers
when you think,
were whack. Before they started doing the retro thing, before Nike started being like, we're redoing everything. Mm-hmm.
Which came with the dunk.
When you would go to a sneaker store in the early 2000s, you would look around and be like, there's nothing I want in this store. Mm-hmm. These basketball shoes look like shit. Then they did the retros, the Spizikes, Jordan just came
right,
back.
But that started with the dunk. The dunk kind of got that popping because they were like, yeah, this whatever basketball shoe that we made before the Air Jordan itself, before the Air came, was the dunk. The dunk they
is
made.
Is it?
Yeah.
The dunk was first?
Yeah.
The dunk was first before it
became. Oh, I thought
became,
the Jordan
first, the Air Force. It's dunk and Air Force are before Jordans?
I think, yeah. The Uptown was before Jordan.
It's confusing.
And the dunk was or either at the same time or before Jordan. But anyway, it wasn't the Jordan. It was the knockoff. The dunk was. Mm-hmm. And then the customization part made it something interesting. Mm-hmm. And then you had these cats wanting to rock those retros.
The SBs.
Right.
When
and
the they, SBs, when they made those them came
a
little bit later.
That was a skateboard thing. But that became because Nike bought Hurley, which was a skate brand, and they wanted to get into the skate business.
So
they made
the
SB, which was their launching of Nike SB when they got Paul Rodriguez and that whole movie.
Now, hold on. Before we could derail into now, we're talking about skater shoes.
But no, I think there's a conversation about that whole
the Jordan
retro thing.
Anything else that jumped out at you that is interesting while you were listening?
I think all of it is interesting to hear him in the context of
couple
talking
things he said on Big
with
Boy
you guys.
Show.
Like with the drum stuff is interesting. You know,
but that's like
drums are my Achilles heel.
The paying your dues portion of being a producer, not being able to access
no ID saying you can't have these drums. Yeah, you're right. Not there.
Which is the same thing that happens in a lot of and. Kids coming up right now are not used to that because everything's on the internet. That's why we get so much pushback from kids who are like, yo, I deserve. And there was a time when it was like, fam, you can't even get shit.
But that's what I wanted to get to. If we had more time with Kanye, if I'd had more time to get comfortable, what I wanted to say to him was Kanye forces people to a certain extent to stay slow down because of the way he is.
Yeah, so like amped up, right?
Think about it. Like he probably felt like he deserved those drums. Like, I need those right now. When I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't feel like if I was no ID, you should have gotten those yet. Hip hop mic sitting right there. I'd be like, hold on, man. You're going to get your turn. He's the Rick Ross story. Ross said they met. Ross didn't even know him. Really liked him, but didn't know him. And Ross was nobody either, but still, neither was Kanye. And Kanye goes, yo, I need to executive produce your whole album. And he's like, okay, I just met you. I don't like that's how he is. The amazing part is he's right. He just happens to be that good. But you can understand why people at Raucous and other places would be like, whoa. Yeah, it throws you off. Most people who act the way he does, guess what? They're not good.
True.
They turn out to suck.
That's true.
They're full of shit. He happens to back up everything.
I think the one ingredient there that probably people can't identify is his attention to quality. And his respect for quality.
No, we've heard a couple stories. Like, T-Pain was in here and talked about how he did, like, 8 different hooks for Good Life. Like, the bridge in Good Life, it was one of the hooks.
Yeah, he said it was, like, not, it was insane. Like,
I think the other thing that you point out in Kanye's, that makes Kanye interesting, or you should point out, is how often he said he reached out to so-and-so for help.
Timbaland and Pharrell and all that?
Yeah, he was like, my drums ain't it ain't knocking, I need help. He also said it in another point where Jay helped me with the sound, like Jay has a way of, like I think that's also notable where it was like, yeah, he might have been gunning for what he felt like he deserved, but he was not also, he also wasn't afraid to be like,
ask people
I
for
need
help.
To learn, like I'm not, this ain't really right yet. I know I'm dope, but I'm not really there.
Well, it's interesting, he's not afraid to say he's the shit, but he's also in the same breath not afraid to say drums are my Achilles heel.
But that's
help.
What girl cares about the drums? Like, but to me, I'm like, yes, let's talk about drums.
Right, because he has the one component that you can make hits without drums, which is melody, and just kind of like that sonic knowledge of what sounds dope.
But he's trying to be like, he was trying to emulate this shit that I've been hearing. By the way, out of the gate, him saying the first Pete Rock song he mentioned was I Gotta Love.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You will not find another rap. Do you know I Gotta Love off top? Do you remember it?
No.
You will not find a rap fan. No, you wouldn't. You know what you think? Why did he make this a single?
Yeah.
It was the first single from Main Ingredient. I remember Flex playing it. And right away, Flex started playing the B-side, the Main Ingredient. Because I Gotta Love was kind of like, he goes, I gotta love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And then has a Biz sample in the background. I'm like telling you straight on up. Yeah, yeah. But it's a weird.
It's a loop.
It fits his style. With the words in it.
Yeah, I guess. It's just such a. It just speaks. And then another thing we learned about him saying he's ASR and MPC. That speaks to his brain, how, you know, interesting and weird he is in terms of what he would, you know, use to make beats. Hey, Ebro, thank you for helping us, not for making that happen for us.
So am I done?
No, we'll think of someone else soon.
No, let's get on this.
This is R. Kelly shit, and I might need your backup on that, because I'm trying.
It's Kells, man.
I need that Kells.
What are we using on the show tomorrow morning?
I wasn't in that.
I actually like this record.
So,
awesome.
We'll talk about this off there.
You can't rush this on one app.
Yeah, no,
I don't. You guys got to understand. I don't really rush it. I'm just really like.
No, when you want to say, all right, that's cool. You stand up and you leave.
No, but he wants us to talk about what's on the show tomorrow.
I really want to know
on the show. Oh, okay.
On the program.
Can we do that on one app scene? Let's just figure it out real quick. Because I think those highlights we just mentioned, right?
Michael Jackson,
for sure.
Yes.
The
fashion shit.
Which part?
The fashion shit was the Jordan kind of like all of that.
No, it's
he said I'll be the biggest product maker or whatever that was.
Yeah,
you got.
But I have
that.
A question, and we'll let people inside who are listening. Kanye is a big enough artist that is it not worth it to play a big chunk of that tomorrow? Just because people are going to hear him talking on the radio, and even when he's ranting and being crazy, they're going to go, "What's Kanye talking about?" Yeah.
I mean,
how long do you play him for?
You got to take out the super nerd. The drum talk got to come out.
No, that's fine. But in terms of his ranting, he repeats stuff a lot and stuff like that. But I think it's
longer than our average interview that we play back.
So you think we should still run?
But I think you should definitely spend some time making sure it's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dom, jump
Please.
In.
Dom on the one app.
You're
on the one app.
He gets invited all the time. And everyone's.
Just speak up. I only come in when it's reggae.
I know, that's right. Only if it's a reggae topic.
I got a love stuck in my head, and that's not the song I want stuck in my head.
Here, I'll help you with a main ingredient instead. Bannet, wamp, bannet, wamp, boop, 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 boop.
Wow, that is the worst.
That's how that, but hold on, that was main ingredient.
I know, bannet, wamp, rendition boop, of boop. It I've ever heard.
Hold on, guys, when I play you with the song, how that song goes, you're going to be like, damn, Rosenberg nailed it. Keep in mind my version. Bannet, bannet, wamp, bannet, wamp. Whoop, whoop. Here that goes. Check it out,
y'all.
Let's
check it out. Just the whoop, whoop. Check it out, y'all.
That's what it is. That's a sample.
But that, it's chopped up. It's not like that.
Nah, he's playing the same.
Play it again.
Check it out, y'all. Check it out. He's changing the order of it. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Like the actual song. Is that TJ just shoveling pizza down his gullet? That's nice. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed this. I wish we could have had longer with Ye. I'm sure everyone will complain. Maybe we'll get him again one day down the road. Get some more with him. You all right?
Way down the road.
Hey, guess what? It'll be more soon than there'll be an Eminem repeat appearance on one I've seen. So.
Really? You think so?
I don't know. The Eminem situation's not great.
Why?
You know the whole story?
No.
Should we tell our one I've seen listeners?
Yes.
So when M was in town the week when I said... That he was lip syncing. I thought he was lip syncing on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
So Dro calls me that day. Dro's a friend of me and Sifes who works for Shady, and he goes, "Yo, Peter, yo, man, you talked about the lip syncing thing." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Marshall heard you. He was listening to the show."
Oh my God.
He goes, man, what the fuck? And he wasn't mad at me. He's just like the luck. He was like, I'm like, this fucking guy never listens to the radio, and Marshall's listening. He goes, I walk in, and Marshall says, so Peter thinks I was lip syncing on SNL?
Hey, at least he knows your name.
That's the only thing I took from the story. I was like, yes! Oh, sorry, what did you say?
At least he knows your name.
And I'm like, well, I mean, keep in mind, he had us out to Detroit. Like, they took us in. And I said to him, I said, I did a real...
You do that a lot, man.
When people are in town?
You pick the worst time to say shit about people. One, they don't live here. Mm. They don't listen to you every day. Don't get your sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And they're on the... like, when someone's on their promo run, it's super sensitive time. Like, go in on them, like, 3 months after the album. Mm-hmm. You know?
But that's not when we're talking about people. We have to talk about what's topical.
Right, I know, but it's like...
So I call Paul, I email Paul Rosenberg, and I'm like, Paul, we have been bigging up Eminem every day for 3 months. Every time he dropped a new song, we premiered mm-hmm. it. Everyone. Dominican Drew's editing 700 curses a day so we can play everything Eminem does. Mm-hmm. I said, 3 weeks ago I did a realness called Eminem is the greatest of all time. I said one thing. I said it appeared like he was lip syncing. I don't know what to say. I go, we'd still love to have him on. He goes, yeah, you can have him. When he drops MMLP3 in 13 years.
Shit.
Shit. But by the way, there's more shit. There's a relationship. There's a complicated relationship between Paul and Ebro that I'm not involved in and don't fully understand. Like, they like each other, but there's weird shit there. So I'll end up getting the blame for it, but I don't think that was the whole deal. We weren't going to get him anyway. That's the bottom line. He wasn't going to come here anyway.
Yeah. God, but now we're not going to get him when he does another Royce album or him and Bizarre or him and a new guy.
It's going to be a Bizarre album.
I'm just saying, like, the only reason we got him is because it wasn't his album. It was that Bad Meets Evil album. So it needed an extra push.
Yes.
So I don't care why we get him. We lucked out.
No, you're right. But listen, you don't understand.
Like, our greatest Jay-Z interview was because he was putting out a book. Now, we remember that day, Jay-Z interview. It was just him. One person, I think security, and the publicist chick.
Because all he was...
Like, but Kanye today, because it's...
Tour.
It's all label people, and it's 20 people around, you know?
Sometimes you need the...
Sometimes when it's something else, it's a little less hectic.
You get a little... Anyways, me and Paul have been friends for several years now, and it's hopefully not ruined. I don't think he's that mad at me. I think he gets the game. He was just annoyed. Because he felt like we were people he trusted, and then M happens to hear it. And he's like,
I think these people are sensitive, man.
Oh, you think? You're saying that you think Kanye, Eminem, and those types are sensitive.
And their managers, and their label. Like,
I think Jay is the rare example of mostly doesn't give a fuck.
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
You don't think he's sensitive?
Not to shit. I feel like to this shit, he's not as sensitive. Like, he knows the business. Y'all do your part. I do my part. We all do shit.
I think that's also Ebro in his ear a lot.
Right. Oh, by the way, we don't know. Jay-Z could hate me by this point. We don't know. You know? I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so.
I just try to counteract Ebro's Jay-Z love with a little dose of, you know, hardline journalism every once in a while. All right, guys. Thank you. Good night.
They're thanking them. They should be thanking us. Thank us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good night.
Oh, fuck.
Well, hold on. Maybe this should stay on. What happened?
Nothing.